Good morning. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's begin our worship time together.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my
announcements. First off, continue the Revelation study during the evening service tonight. Also, May 24th, that is this Wednesday, I believe, we will be having the church council meeting at 7 p.m. Council consists of deacons, church officers, Sunday school directors, Sunday school teachers, and chairman of committee. And we will be putting that together. The council is going to be meeting, and we're going to look at kind of the plan to put in place for finding a new pasture. May 25th, the spring teenager event at the Freeman Heights Baptist in Berryville from 11 to 1. And then July 5th, we'll be beginning a Bible study when revival comes.
We are 3 weeks away from camp. I will be getting our registration form. So if kids, if you want to fill out your registration forms ahead of time, that'd be great. We, even though church council is meeting this Wednesday night, we will still be meeting to work on props and preparing for camp starting at 6. So if you can come, please still come, regardless of whether church council meets at 7 or not. Thank you.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time you give us here, Gay. God, I pray for Wes and what he brings us, Lord. I pray you give us ears to hear. God, I pray, thank you for all you bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me again?
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy. Waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. The sunshine, showing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. Shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice. Thank you.
one day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. They nailed Him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is
Take our offering at this time. Was it a bad nightmare I had? Did Lanny say he was resigning last Sunday? So we need to be in prayer not only for our church, but for him moving forward, right? I know that he and Miss Gwen are not finished by any means, and they're going to have a fruitful ministry going forward wherever God leads them. So I want us to keep them in our prayers. And of course, the committee that's about to be formed and how the Lord's going to lead the next man, who that's going to be. And the whole process needs to be lifted up to the Lord, right? Okay, if you're a visitor, I don't see any here this morning. There's a card in the pew in front of you that you can fill out to let us know that you were here so that we could make contact with you and see if you'd like for us to visit you. And so that's there for you. At this time, someone will come and lead us in prayer.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we came to worship you, and we pray that our worship has been pleasing. We pray for this offering that's about to be taken, that it would be used for your to further your kingdom. Each family that gives, that they would be blessed. And Lord, we ask your blessing on Wes as he brings us the message here this morning. We pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
People and opening God's Word here this morning. Brother Lanny texted me late last night and said, be sure to release the kids to Children's Church. But before you go, I have a question for you. They're already gone. Well, it's a question for you then. Anybody hear a whistle? There we go. I could not. Old dog. Start last Sunday that I could whistle. I got up at Lakeland Baptist Church and started preaching, and I was whistling because I was just not about me. My wife. Always sing a little bit. I like to open it up to do it?
Okay. Yeah.
It's like one that anyway. Song in God has been so but she was singing and she started laughing. And I didn't catch it, but she was singing, I am so good, so good.
I don't know about that. I don't know if she's that good. hope this fits my ear right. We sang some songs this morning about Calvary, and Easter was just about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. Easter was a mighty miracle when you think about it, what all happened on Calvary's Hill, and redemption for us. That I'll get this pulled up here anyway, but was a mighty miracle where God gave his life on the cross and died, and 3 days later arose. We might have salvation when you think about it, but there were some other miracles that happened on Calvary. I want to talk about them. There's five miracles. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 45 to 54. And there we go. And I like to print out my verses because they're bigger letters and I can see them, or see them better. But anyway, says that, and now from the sixth hour, let's stand, please, as this church does, to read the Word of God, which I like. And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, God cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurions and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you showed for us, that you give for us, that we dying on the cross, that we might have salvation. We come for you humbly today and ask that you would bless this message, that they would be prayer of the ears of those that are here, that you would help me to speak the words that you'd have. I ask this in your name, name above every name. Amen. On a skull-shaped hill outside a city wall, one sunny day some 2,000 years ago, men murdered their maker. They falsely accused him. They give him a phony trial. They had taken him out on that hill and they nailed him to a cross of wood. Up in heaven, there were 12,000 legions of angels with swords drawn. And they looked down waiting for just one word. That never came. For as a sheep before her shears was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Had he but spoken that one word, those angels would have poured out of heaven. They would have come down and stomped flat all the hills, high hills of Judea. They would have turned to blood the waters of the seven seas, and they would have ushered in right then Armageddon. There and then, they would have made an end to it. But nothing like that happened. You would think, since the Lord Jesus claimed to be God of all, over all, God manifest in flesh, creator of the universe, one whom angels worshiped, one would think that when men murdered their maker, there would have been some sort of sign. If he really was who he claimed to be, something would have happened. And it did. I want us to think of this morning of five miracles of Calvary. As he hung on the Calvary's cross, number one, the Lord reached out and he put his hand upon the sun. Second, he reached out and he put his hand upon the sanctuary. And third, he reached out and he put his hands upon the stones. And fourth, he reached out yet another time and he put his hand upon the sepulchers. And fifth, last of all, he reached out and put his hand upon the soldiers. Now, the Bible says there was darkness over the land from the sixth hour and to the ninth hour. That's from about 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's all over the land. From Galilee to Samaria, from Judea, city after city, from village after village, the whole land was plunged into darkness. The sun had got up that morning, as it had done some 12,235 times the life of Christ. And in all that long period, all that time, day after the day, the sun had beamed down and had looked upon its maker. At night, the sun would tuck itself in the west, pull the blanket of night up over its head, and it would say to itself, what a day it's been today. I've seen him cleanse a leper today. I've seen him give back sight to a blind man today. I saw him raise a little girl up from the dead today. I can't wait to see what he's going to do tomorrow. And on that particular morning, the sun had bound up into the sky and rose up and looked down, and it saw men murdering its maker. It hid his face in blushing shame. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for men, his creatures' sins. It wasn't until 3 o'clock into that afternoon that it could summon enough to look back and just in time to see Jesus die. That was a mighty miracle, you know. As he hung upon the cross of Calvary, he put his hand out and he snuffed out the sun like it was a candle. The sun is a star. It's 864 miles across the diameter, 335 quadrillion cubic miles of violently hot gas, weighs 2 octillion tons at temperatures somewhere around 25 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. We gripe about 100 degrees here. 25 million degrees Fahrenheit. And he just snuffed it out. I don't have any idea how he done it. I know he did it, but I don't have any idea how he done it. It wasn't an eclipse. Occasionally on the earth, we have an eclipse where the moon will block out the sun, but that only lasts for like 7 minutes. Whatever happened lasted for 3 hours. There was darkness over all the land. Is a darkness like that descended upon the soul of Abraham when he made the offering and he fell down upon his face before God, and the Bible calls it the horror of a great darkness, Genesis 15 and 12. It's the kind of darkness that descended upon Egypt. The darkness says that the Holy Spirit that could be felt. Exodus 10, 21. The very first thing that God did in creation was he commanded light to be. For the work of creation was to be done in the light. But the work of redemption was to be done in the dark. God's not going to let anyone see what happened. When he who knew no sin was made sin for us. From Dan to Beersheba, from mountaintop to grassy plains, from river to seas, darkness. They said, give us a sign from heaven. That's exactly what he did. When he was born, he put a star in the sky. When he died, he put the sun out. That's the first great miracle of Calvary. Second, he put his hand upon the sanctuary, and it says that the veil was of the temple, it was rent from top to bottom. And that was a great miracle of tremendous significance to the Jewish people. All of their religious activities had come to the head of in the Day of Atonement. All the days of the high priest, after the most elaborate ritual precautions that they would have, and they were allowed to pass beyond the veil into the temple of the Holy of Holies. You can read all about that in Leviticus 16. It was the climax of all their other religious events. The rendering of the veil in the temple rendered the Jewish religious sanctified by divine revelation, and for some 15,000 years rendered the veil, rendering the whole thing null and void and forever obsolete. No human hand tore that veil. It was torn from the top to bottom, and God did it. It signified, I can't even say it, a total change in the end of the Judaism and a symbol of the age of all the sacrifices, the offerings, the rules, the regulations, the tabernacles, the temple codes, the commandments, all of that had been replaced by the substance. The veil was 60 feet high. It was thick as a man's hand, and it spanned the temple from wall to wall, dividing between the holy place and the most holy place, in the tabernacle at first, and then later on in the temple, apart from a few brief years of Babylonian exile. That veil had hung for 15,000 years. It was an impassable barrier. Beyond the veil, there was called the Holy of Holies. It was black as midnight. No ray of the sun ever penetrated into that dark place. In the holy place did the lamp stand. Its light, however, was excluded from the Holy of Holies. Everything in there was of purest gold, the most brilliant colors, and the finest linen. There was the sacred Ark of the Covenant, made of wood overlaid with purest gold. It contained Aaron's rod that had budded, part of the manna, and an unbroken copy of the Mosaic Law. It was covered by a slab of gold called the Mercy Seat. Out of the same slab of gold were fashioned figures of the cherubims, and with their wings outspread, who overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant, their faces were turned inward and downward so that they would forever be looking at the blood upon the mercy seat. No natural light penetrated in that dark place. But when the Shekinah glory of God was in residence, when God was sitting upon the mercy seat, people knew that God was present. It was brighter than day in there. In all that long period of history of the Old Testament, only a few people had ever been in there. David never went in there. Solomon never went in there. Elijah didn't go, nor did Jeremiah or Daniel, nor did Jesus. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, with a basin of blood in his hand, sprinkling incense or a censer of burning incense, so he would go in to blot out his view from God. He was allowed to go in. Probably in that long period of time, only 50 people had ever gone in there. They came in with trembling hands, and they would sprinkle the blood, and they would get back out as fast as they could. They wore bells on their garments so that people would still know that they were alive while they were in there. You see, the whole purpose of the veil was to keep people out. Only one king ever dared to go in there, King Uzziah. And God smote him with leprosy. Can you imagine the officiating priest on the day of Calvary? He goes in with the table and he's taking some incense and the blood, and he goes to check the lampstand and put the incense. And when he turns and he looks at the veil and his total horror. Torn. I can just see him. His jaw drops. He starts to shake. And he runs out to tell his colleagues, the other priests. And they too can peer in and see inside the Holy of Holies where nobody had ever done before. You see, God had said, don't you dare come in here. You come in here and I will kill you. I am holy, you stay out. Now he says, come in. I'm so glad to see you. Come in, let us talk. Stay a little longer. Tell me about your family. Tell me about the places you work. Tell me about your church. You see, I've torn the veil in two now. I want you to come in. I want to be with you. That's what God says. I'm so glad. Aren't you so glad we live this side of Calvary? Man, if I had to list every year all the sins that I did, there'd be a stack of papers this high. I couldn't remember them all to have to give the priest, because they would do the offering and offer up your sins for the year, and the next year you'd go back and I'd have another stack of papers this high. My wife would tell you, yeah, he will. But we don't have to do that now. We don't hear, you're here again? He don't say that. Why are you back? No. Weren't you just in here the other day? No. Don't you know I need you to hurry up. Don't you know I've got 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels bending my every knees, taking care of all the galaxies, all the worlds. I don't need you in here. Hurry up. What you got? He doesn't say that. He says, I'm so glad that you're here. Amen. How long can you stay? What? You're leaving already? Hurry back. He rent the veil so people. He is here now. We can talk to him. He wants us to communicate with Him on a daily need. He put His hand upon the sun, and then He put His hand upon the sanctuary. And then He put His hands upon the stones. The Bible says that the earth did quake and the rocks rant. Just a few weeks before in His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you remember, and the people were all shouting hosannas and blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. But you remember what the Pharisees said to Him? Tell them to shut up. Tell them to quit. They were just absolutely enraged. And Jesus said, if I tell them to stop saying that, if I tell them to shut up, He said, I should tell them to hold their peace, these stones would immediately cry out. Well, they're holding their peace now. On that day, Calvary's Hill, only one voice raised in protest. That was the voice of a dying thief. Where were you, Bartimaeus? Didn't Jesus get back your sight? Can't you say anything? Where are you, Zacchaeus? Can't you say something? Didn't Jesus love you enough that He come into your home and changed your whole life? Haven't you got anything to say? Where are you, Nicodemus? Where are you, Jairus? Didn't He give back your little girl? What about you, Malchus? They cut off your ear and He put it back on. Can't you say something? Where's Thomas? Where's Martha and Lazarus? Matthew, Philip, where's Peter? You should be here at Calvary. You should be saying, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among by His miracles and wonders and signs. Didn't God in the midst of you say that this was My beloved Son when He was baptized? You have taken Him and by evil hands that have crucified and slayed Him. Where are you, Peter? He was sulking down some back alley. Or hiding his shame in Gethsemane. Where were you, Nathaniel? Just a few years ago you said, thou art the Son of God. This is the King of Israel. Why can't you say something now? Well, I'll get me a Gentile governor, and I'll get me a Gentile governor to say that I am king, and I'll get me a Gentile centurion to say that I am the Son of God. And the Gentile governor and the Gentile soldier and these granite stones, they cried out. He put His hand upon the stones and He put His hand upon the sepulcher next. The graves. And the Bible says that the graves were opened up. And it says that, I want you to underline it. Many, many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Yet Matthew just kind of makes this like a little footnote. He dismisses it in one little verse. If that was to happen today, if the graves were all to open up, can you imagine what everybody would be doing? Everybody would be wanting to know what's going on. Would you not? Wouldn't you want to know? But being a holiday and a No, it was the Sabbath and the Passover and a special Sabbath and all that. They just wondered who'd been vandalizing the graves all across the country. And then on Sunday morning when he came out of his grave, they came out of their graves. And there arose hundreds of them all over the country. Many, it says, many dead men out of their graves, and they turned their face toward Jerusalem, and they marched upon the capital. Can you imagine the encounters? You're working in the field one day, and it's late in the evening, and you're headed home. It's starting to turn dark, and you see somebody off in the kind of in the distance, and you say, "Hello," and they answer back, "Yeah, good night, have a good night," or something. And who are you? "Well, I'm Abraham." "Abraham who?" "Father Abraham." Can you imagine that? It says the saints, it doesn't name any, but it could have been. It could have been Isaac or Jacob. Many of the saints, it says. But they just dismiss it. I can imagine bumping into Abraham or Isaac and going out here toward the cemetery one day. Can you imagine that? But Paul, when he stood before King Agrippa, he said, "My Lord King, these things were not done in a corner." Acts 26:26. These wasn't done hidden. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about it. The saints arose and slept and went to the holy city and appeared to many. He put his hand upon the sepulchers and he put his hand upon the soldiers. When the centurion and them and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquakes and those things that were done, they feared greatly. These were men that were afraid of nothing. These were the Roman legionnaires. And they would lock their shields together and they would march against countless, countless of enemies of the worst, whatever. They were afraid of nothing. But they feared greatly. I've thought about that. I pictured this centurion. He's a little boy and he grows up in the city of Rome or maybe a city around Rome and his dad would tell him the great stories of the empire. And he would talk about its vastness and its power and its glory and its people and its religions. And from time to time as a little boy, he would take him on a Roman holiday, and they would go into the city, and there'd be a circus, and it'd be packed full to capacity with eager crowds, all of them anxious to see the latest and greatest gladiators fight to the death or watch wild beasts tear humans into ribbons. It'd be quite an experience for a little boy, wouldn't it? He becomes a soldier. Learns how to obey orders and how to fight without fear. Learns how to, from his veterans in the barracks, how to gamble and drink and swear. He proves himself. He's promoted up through the ranks and he becomes a centurion, in charge of 100 men. And then one day he gets a notice, and I don't know how they did it back then, but maybe I just think of a bulletin board, and he gets a notice, and he's been posted to go to Palestine and all the places on the planet, Palestine. When he gets to Palestine, he discovered that he's not going to stay there. He's going to Caesarea and all places on this planet. He's being sent to Jerusalem, a dishonorable city, if there ever was one for a Roman. For it was full of zealots, and everyone there hated Rome. And that morning, he summons by the governor, told to take three Jews to Calvary, crucify them, and report back when it was done and when they're dead. Who are they? Who knows? Who cares? Who are these? Well, the other one, he claims to be the king of the Jews. We'll show him what we do to rival kings. They did. They had their fun with him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They placed a mocking robe on his back. They bullied him and they beat him and they stripped all the flesh from his back right down to the bone. They thrust a heavy cross upon his shoulders. They took him out to Calvary's hill, nailed him to a cross of wood, and sat down and waited for him to die. The most dreadful work ever done on the planet, done with carpenter tools. Nailed him to a cross of wood. That was 9 o'clock. 3 o'clock that afternoon, they said, "This was the Son of God." Israel had denied him. Caiaphas had denied him. Israel had denied him. Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, of Caiaphas, denied him. Israel's previous high priest denied him. Scribes and Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Zealots, all of them had denied him. Judas had denied him. Judas, dead and damned, had denied him. Peter, sulking down some back alley, had denied him. The disciples had forsaken him and fled. They had denied him. But these men and the centurion and those, they confessed him, Lord and God. He put his hand upon the Son, and that was a mighty miracle. He put his hand upon the sanctuary, and that was even a greater miracle. And he put his hands upon the stones and upon the graves, which was a miracle. But when he put his hand upon the soldiers, that's the miracle that he's still doing today, isn't he? And he hasn't quit doing it either. I've often thought about this, pictured this man, the centurion, and he went back to his native home after his tour of duty, and he went to his village where he grew up, and they all came to greet him, and they started saying, "Something has changed about you. You're different. What's happened to you?" And he would say, "I met a man at a place called Calvary. He was dying on a cross. And that man was God, and that God, he changed my life." Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. You know, that's the miracle he's still doing today. That's the miracle he performed in my life some 40-some years ago at Green Forest Baptist Church. Clyde Spurgeon gave a message. I was sitting on the left side. I got up, went down that aisle, and I give my life to Jesus, give my heart to him. And because he and what he had done, because I believed him, saved me. Not anything I did, but what he did, I was saved. We asked the song leader to come, and we're going to give a song of invitation. This is a message, you know, if you're witnessing to somebody and you need to, you know, and you want, here's five miracles that you can talk to them about and tell them that He is the Son of God. He is Christ. He did put His hand upon the sun and snuffed it out. Who could do that? Could you do that? No, He tore the veil from top to bottom. That thing was huge, thick as a man's hand. He changed the whole religion. He put His hands upon the stones. And He put His hands upon the graves. And many, it says, many come out of the graves. But least of all, He put His hand, or most of all, He put His hand upon the soldiers. And He can do that for you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, let Him do that for you today. Would we come as we stand and sing what number?
300. Without
Him I could do nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail.
Maybe you want to come and just pray for somebody. Maybe there's somebody you know that you need to be witnessing to that's not saved.
Like a ship.
Maybe there's somebody in your family that's sick, and you need to pray for them. And there are things in this church that needs to be prayed about. Well, maybe you need to come and pray for that.
Do you know
He will help us. Would you come? Maybe you want to come and join this church as it receives members. Thank you very much. Greg, would you go and dismiss us, please?
Bow with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house, to hear Your word. Lord, I just pray that You watch over us as we go home and bring us back tonight. And Lord, just continue to bless this church and give us wisdom and leadership to change our leadership and make the right decisions that will glorify You. Pray that You go with us and bless us. These things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.